You're listening to Saturday with Clare Byrne. RTÉ's health correspondent Fergal Bowers reported last night that five voluntary hospitals and services are to have their budget cut by 20% because they failed to bring senior managers into line with public sector pay policy. You'll remember the top-ups scandal which began before Christmas. Well, St Vincent's Hospital, St James's Hospital, the Brothers of Charity South and South East and St John of God's will all have their budget cut from next Friday. And there are concerns today that patient care will be impacted despite the HSE saying that shouldn't happen. Well, we're joined on the line now by Martin Nocton, who is from the Disability Federation. Martin, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Claire.
Will your those service users that you represent be affected by this?
Well, they say no, but yes, we expect that everything takes longer to get to the end user, to the end line. We're particularly concerned with occupational therapy, physiotherapy, and other kind of therapies. Not alone, they may say that things won't be cut back or that they won't be there, but, you know, a very simple cut back could be most people would use just a couple of hours of these kind of therapies a week. And if you reduce by an hour, you know, that's all of a sudden a 50% cut back on physiotherapy.
Do you, Martin, point the finger at the HSE here for announcing the cutback last night, or do you think it's an issue with the various hospitals and services involved because they wouldn't play ball on the top-ups issue?
Well, it's difficult to... first of all, HSE are the funders and they set out the rules and regulations. There is a little bit of a historical situation. I mean, a lot of this used to work on trust. And it's only, you know, as so much things happened in the country. And it's really only in the last 5-7 years that we're going right into the compliance side of things. And, of course, we always think, or lots of groups always think, that compliance or that that's for other sectors. And when it comes to hit home in our own, we're not ready for it, and it comes at us, like a ton of bricks, in a sense. And I think we need a little bit of time to adjust. But in fairness, it's hard to blame the HSE for taking some action, because many representatives from our sector were busy kind of getting into a defence line and almost saying that we were different and that. And we saw that at the very early part with the CRC. The board there were almost shocked to think that they might have to appear before the Public Accounts Committee. You know, so we need some sort of particular medicine at this stage that will. Now, I'm not sure if the 20% is the right medicine, because...
It's a huge amount, Martin, isn't it?
It's a huge amount, and the 20% reduces budgets. And some of the people that we're talking about that need to change their attitude are people who may see, well, if we haven't got the money... If we haven't got the money, we just can't do it. And we'll start getting, over the next number of weeks, we'll start feeling, well, you know, it's the 20%, you know, it's the 20%, and so forth, right? It'll be, this 20% is our troika, in a sense. You know, will have the same impact on us in that sense, and people will use it. May use it in the same kind of way.
Okay.
I also concerned about not just the services that are being delivered. You know, for a long time, we are advertising for new staff, social workers and things like that. And they're the things that will be delayed. You know, well, they won't push forward to bring those staff on stream. So in that sense, I would be very worried as well.
All right. You know? Martin, thank you for taking our call this afternoon. Martin Nocton there from the Disability Federation of Ireland. Dominic Hannigan, this is a bit of a blunt instrument, isn't it, that the HSE are using in order to put an end to the top-ups situation?
Well, there's no doubt, Claire, that there's a level of anger out there that we've all seen from people about the pay salaries that some of these people are getting. We saw it with the CRC. We saw the effect that that had in relation to fundraising for various organisations, for a lot of charities. So, we do need to look at how we can achieve the goal of forcing these organisations to review their pay structures. This is it's a fairly blunt instrument. There's no doubt about that. But I would hope that each organisation affected will now go away, review their pay structure, get the message very clearly that this is something that we cannot continue on with, that they do need to review their pay for senior staff downwards. And I would hope that this is an effect that, although it's a blunt instrument, that it is an effective tool.
Padraig McLaughlin, your view?
Well, I think that the CRC scandal really shocked and disgusted people. When you think of all the fundraising for what is, and that's the thing that can be lost in this. The Central Medical Clinic is, it's a crucial service to so many people. The fact that there were people who were creaming in at the top. There were clearly issues of corporate governance in relation to that, how that was allowed to happen. That should be dealt with as a standalone issue. There should be clear directives given that where public money is given to any charity, that there are pay scales that need to come with that, and that's fully understood. But it needs to be separated out from the issue of the absolutely necessary subsidising of these crucial services.
Michael Clifford.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a recurring theme. You have this situation whereby, on one hand, you have employment contracts that are cast iron legally, we're told, so nothing can be done there. So the people to suffer are those most in need of the services who never had anything at all in the first place, the people who actually need the services. That's the same theme again and again. And you have the HSE coming in. And remember, we're now, what, 5 years into this crisis? Okay, one can understand that at the times of excess, some people went over the top. There's no question it didn't in a lot of areas of society. But this is 5 years into it that this is finally being addressed, and it's being addressed in a very crude manner, rather than something that should have been done 5 years ago. And you have that failure to act. And on the other side, you have this thing that because these employment contracts are legally untouchable, therefore there has to be another approach to dealing with this thing. And what do? They just cut the services. I mean, I think it's worse than a blunt instrument. But if you were to ask me what else could they do, I don't have an answer for that either,
you see,
unfortunately.
That's the problem, because we all heard the head of the St Vincent's Hospital Group,
yes,
before the Public Accounts Committee talking about swinging into compliance. Now, they obviously haven't managed to swing into compliance
yet.
That's
a great phrase, all right, yeah.
Because this is why this is happening. But it might force them now to start looking at how they do their business.
It may well do, but at what cost, one wonders. I mean, the people who require the services, the damage, for instance, has been done to people in need of services from the CRC has been enormous, all because of the fallout from that. And it's just that whole recurring theme again and again, that you have a small group who are creaming it, whose situation is unassailable, and therefore there has to be fallout. It's the people on the ground who get it in the neck.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be what will happen, Dominic. I mean, 20% is such a huge sum of money that for the HSE to say that patient services shouldn't be affected, it's a bit of a misnomer. I mean, that is what's going to happen, isn't it?
Well, it's going to be difficult for each of those organisations to manage those cuts. I've no doubt about that. We've very, very good people in the management structures there, very good frontline staff, and I'm sure that they will do their utmost to make sure that frontline services aren't affected. Michael is right. There was a time of excess. Perhaps this should have been addressed a fair few number of years ago. It wasn't. There are very few instruments that we can use to force people to change the contracts. This, unfortunately, is going to be a bitter pill for them. There's no doubt about it, but it's a medicine that might work. I think we need to try to work with them to ensure that we minimise the impact that this will have on frontline.
Okay, and they have until next Friday to sort this out as well.
Indeed.
And start to cooperate with the HSE. A couple of texts that have come into us. John says there should be tension between a regulator and the Gardaí and political oversight. It's a pity that such tension did not seem to exist in the banking sector. Keep GSOC and that appropriate tension, says John. Noel says, I'm more concerned about the Garda Commissioner's judgment than I am about the bugging issue. There's no possible way he could know that there was no Garda involvement. This whole issue is quite clearly being sexed down by the Commissioner, the Minister and the Government. And that was a lot of the criticism this week. Dominic, you're joining us from the Labour Party conference.
I am,
we were
yes.
talking to Joan Burton earlier. Now,
yes.
were when we visited and called in on the Sinn Féin conference, they were all in great form and looking forward to the election because their numbers have been good. Is there a nervousness around there that you mightn't be able to repeat your performance of the previous local and European elections?
There's not, I have to tell you, there's not. We're quite buoyant.
You would say that.
We had, well, I'll tell you, we last time around, Claire, we got 10% in the local elections in Meath. I actually think we'll do better than that in Meath this time around. I don't mind saying publicly, I would hope that we come back with possibly a small increase in the number of seats that we have in Meath. We've got some excellent candidates here, and I think we've got some excellent policies. Our local manifesto is going to be published in the next few weeks. It's got some eye-catching policies in there. It's got some very sensible policies as well that we do need to build local communities. It's a changed world in the last few years in Ireland. Just a few months ago, we saw the Troika disappearing. We created 58,000 jobs last year. The Promnote went last year. IBRC went last year. So there has been progress. There's no doubt about that. And I think we can stand on a very good record when it comes to local authorities. We've always been the party that have protected local communities. We've stood up to developers. We've got a very, very strong, clear record about delivery of local services. I think that will stand us in good stead come May.
Pádraig McLoughlin, I heard Rory Quinn saying yesterday, you know, if you reject Labour out of hand, you better start thinking seriously about Gerry Adams for Thánaiste. And that seems to be a message that's coming from a few Labour people. Fair, do you think?
Well, what I would like to see is the Labour Party, and I have great respect for, you know, the Labour grassroots and the TDs that I engage with in Leinster House. But I would like to see the Labour Party go back to their roots. And I dream of a day when you have a coalition in government of left of centre, you know, to the left of Sinn Féin, the Labour Party and other independents. And, you know, that would be the dream for us. So hopefully we'll get there.
Dominic, there's an invite for you.
Indeed, you know, we've always been, as a party, always been very willing to work with various groups in the interests of the country. That's why we're in government with Fine Gael at the moment, because we believe that together our programme for government is what the country needs to get people back working to get us out of this recession. And I do believe that people recognise that, and come May I would hope that our candidates will do well in the local elections.
All right, Dominic, thank you for joining us there. I know you've a busy day ahead, and Pádraig McLoughlin, indeed a very busy week for you when that committee sits and meets Minister Shatter. Michael Clifford, my thanks to you also. And thank you for listening. We're back here next Saturday at 1 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.